I'm Patrick Scahill for WNPR News. How does electricity make its way from power plants to the plugs in your house? I set out to answer that question and learned about the incredible alchemy of science, physics, and engineering, which makes our electricity possible. Turn back the clock just a couple of centuries, and to our ancestors, that alchemy would seem like magic. With the single flip of a switch, our rooms are bathed in light. And as I stand on the floor of the Millstone Nuclear Plant in Waterford, Connecticut, it does seem like some futuristic feat of engineering. I'm inside a massive room that looks like the hold of a multi-storied space freighter. Countless pipes twist on the walls around me as I walk over a lattice corridor of metal stairs. The nuclear reaction in Millstone happens elsewhere. Uranium atoms are split, heat is produced, and used to make steam. But what I'm looking at here is where that steam goes, into a massive high-pressure turbine about 250 feet long. It's the start of our electricity's journey. It's also really, really loud in here.
It's running at 1,800 revolutions per minute.
Ken Holt is a spokesperson for Millstone. He took me through the plant. As we walk and try to talk, steam flows into the turbine, hitting blades and twisting the shaft of a generator. It's all spinning a magnet inside huge coils of wire, converting mechanical energy into electricity. In this case, about 1,200 megawatts.
Each megawatt in New England can power 1,000 homes. So the unit 3 is about 1.2 million homes.
In 2016, Millstone and other nuclear plants provided about 30% of New England's power. Natural gas pumped out about 50%, and the rest came from a mix of renewables and coal. Many points of generation, which all feed into the same thing, our grid. Which got me curious about the next step. How does all that electricity move across all those wires? To understand that part of the story, I hopped into a helicopter with Christine Noctennis from Air Ocean Aviation. As we take to the air, she keeps an eye out for hazards.
See a balloon overhead or something. Yeah, balloon. All right.
Oh yeah, look at that.
Today, we're flying a few hundred feet over a trail of high-voltage transmission lines running through Connecticut towns. Transmission lines are the big power wires you see, often in fields up on giant metal scaffolds.
We're going to come up to the substation up here and then go south? Is that correct?
Got it.
In the back seat is Tony Johnson from Eversource. You can think of electric wires as pipes, only instead of water, they're carrying electricity. Two things we wouldn't want to mix, but for the sake of this analogy, we'll do just fine. As the helicopter zips and dips, I asked Johnson about something that's key to electricity's journey. When a line is live, is it always carrying the same amount of power?
Well, they're always running at the voltage level, so there's 115,000 volts or 345,000 volts. But the amperage, the current, is actually how much power is flowing.
Back to our analogy. Pipes have pressure that moves water through them. Wires have voltage that moves amperage or current along its way. And just like you can't track a drop of water as it moves through pipes, you can't track an electron as it moves along on a wire. But you can track and change its flow.
Depending on the time of year, the loads, the heat, you can have a very high current running through these. If you take some lines out, other lines will be loaded up, so they'll have very high current running through them.
The process is not perfect. The Federal Department of Energy says around 5% of electricity is lost in transmission and distribution in the U.S., some in the form of heat. And on really hot days, it's physics you can see. Power lines dipping toward the ground as heat and electricity causes the wires to physically expand and slacken. And here's the part of the story where, for me at least, the whole thing gets a little bit mind-boggling. The entire electric system needs to be kept in near perfect balance. If too much power is dumped into the grid, the lines could quite literally burn up. So who the heck watches that? Naturally, I had to find out.
So it's from this room that here in Holyoke, Massachusetts, that we dispatch virtually all of the electricity that consumers use from Maine down to Connecticut.
Ellen Foley is with ISO New England. They dispatch electricity over 9,000 miles of high-voltage transmission lines across the region's electric grid to millions of homes and businesses. We're in a conference room talking about electricity when suddenly she jumps up to make a call.
Hello, I'm up in the Portland room and we've made arrangements for the screen to come up for a tour.
In Wizard of Oz-like fashion, one side of the room ascends as she literally pulls back the curtain on a large control center. Because of security, I can't go in. But behind the glass are the workers responsible for keeping the grid operational.
Electricity is used as soon as it's produced. And so we have to make sure that we keep, you know, supply and demand in almost constant balance. Mm.
Helping with that is a giant screen about 12 feet tall by 50 feet wide. It's a visual schematic of hundreds of power plants, substations, and transmission lines across New England, which need to be tweaked as demand varies. Foley says workers also keep close tabs on news and the weather. weather and use a neural network to make short-term forecasts about energy demand.
Which is sort of an artificial intelligence computer that takes a look at consumer behavior for electricity demand over the past 35 years on the grid.
Enabling them to run forecasting models for, say,
how much electricity will we need on a Wednesday morning in the middle of winter with this kind of temperature?
All right, re-entering the system here.
Back up in the helicopter outside of Wallingford, Connecticut, Christine Noctennis swoops in to observe two large transmission lines running parallel. I asked Tony Johnson where it's going next.
It'll end up going to a substation.
Because remember when we said voltage was like pressure for electrons? Well, just like you wouldn't take a shower with a fire hose for fear the water pressure would obliterate your loofah, too much electric pressure or voltage could blow out your appliances. So substations knock that electricity down to a lower voltage. Eversource runs more than 200 of those in Connecticut.
And then from there you'll have these smaller lines come from that station to other substations where it breaks it down to the distribution voltage.
Energy that hits those small cylindrical transformers on your utility poles where the voltage is massaged down one more time, traveling through distribution lines until finally that power flows into your home, ready for you when you turn on your TV or flip on your light. Patrick Scahill, WNPR News.